Welcome to Moving Forward, sponsored by MPW MockLink TV and MockLink Internet, online at mpw.org. Each weekday morning, our local talk segment brings you the people who are helping move our community forward. Let's start the show.
Welcome to Moving Forward for July 13th, 2020. My guest this morning is Shelley Servideo Elias.
Hi. Good morning.
She's playing on her phone right now.
I got bestie.
Well, Shelley, first, thank you for coming on the show again.
Thank you for having me.
Because I feel like we had a really good conversation just the last time that you were here. And since then,
I won!
I know! So now you're up. If you don't mind, real quick, though, now it's your first time ever running for public office.
Yes.
So you're running for Muscatine County Board of Supervisors, District 4, and you had to run in a primary election against another Democrat on June 2nd.
I did.
You won that by 57% of the votes.
Yes.
Something else. So you won 21 out of 23 precincts in the entire county, and there was only a 16-vote margin in those two precincts, and that's very impressive. So you're running in November against a one-term incumbent, Nathan Mather.
Yes.
So why are you running so hard, and what do you think you need to do to win the seat?
Well, you know, running for office is how I can continue to serve my community.
Yep.
And my whole life has been dedicated to serving others, and you know, I'm a retired registered nurse and a disabled veteran and a mom. And, you know, I want people to know these things about me, that, you know, I'm a Christian. And I think what I bring is I bring a fresh point of view, and I'm dedicated to caring service.
Right.
And I will work hard to advocate for those who are underserved among us. And that's something we don't have right now. And
right.
I want to bring that to the table. I want to be that vote for that demographic in our communities throughout the county, because they need that. They need that voice. They need that fresh perspective.
Yeah. Well, and that's okay. So with the current, with Nathan Mather in there, has there been anything that stuck out that maybe you said, okay, I definitely have to make sure that I don't do that again. I don't follow up on some things that maybe he said were good and you don't want to do those things?
So a couple of meetings ago, you know, they're kind of forming this, there's like people that have been formed to be on a board, like to be able to vote.
Yeah.
Independently of the Board of Supervisors for the people, for the healthcare, I'm not really articulating this very well, but what
I don't do it all the time, so don't worry about it.
But the Board of Supervisors were so concerned about who's going to sit on this board, who's going to have a vote, who their employers were, you know, that, I mean, that it's almost like it's out of their power who's going to sit on this board, that they're like trying to look up who their employers are.
Right.
And how many are, you know, sitting on this board, and what distribution of people from our county are on this board. Like, they're trying to weigh the balance of power. And to me, that's really kind of inappropriate.
Yeah.
Because the whole point of that board is to take the power out of being underneath the thumb of the Board of Supervisors and give the power back to the people and let the people be stakeholders and give them a voice. The point is, the people need to have a voice and have a seat at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And the Board of Supervisors needs to back off and let those people have that space. And I am absolutely 100% for that. Let the people have a voice.
Right.
They are affected by how insurance approves and disapproves their care, mental health care. Insurance is huge in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
How we access care, how we get care, where we get care. In our county, mental health care is a huge, huge issue.
Yeah.
And people are getting sent all over the state because they can't access care in our county.
Yep.
And that's why we have such a huge problem paying our bills. So to me, interfering with that process or being upset about how that process is working, that makes us part of the problem.
Right.
It creates a negative feedback cycle. And I think we need to make space for people to have voice, mm-hmm. and then we need to lift them up and make sure that they are empowered,
right,
not disempowered.
Right. Well, you mentioned healthcare, and women's healthcare is an important topic.
Absolutely.
And currently there are no obstetrics physician practicing in Muscatine. Why is this a problem, and how should the Muscatine County Board of Supervisors address this?
So that is huge for women. I've had private citizens talk to me. We have, right now, women, like, say they have severe nausea.
Mm-hmm.
They're having to go, like, an hour drive all the way to Bettendorf to get, like, a bag of IV fluids with fenugreek to treat their severe nausea,
right,
and then come all the way back. I mean, this is like 90-mile round trip for nausea.
You're already sick, so then you're going to get in the car. Right.
Yeah. So this is just unacceptable. And when people tend to politicize when you say things like reproductive health care,
mm-hmm.
But that doesn't, we're talking about the full spectrum of reproductive health care. So this is your OBGYN care, everything that women need. So we actually just really need a women's health care clinic,
yeah,
here in Muscatine that can take care of all of women's reproductive health care needs.
Mm-hmm.
And preventative health care maintenance, that's access to everything women need. So even if we had something that was a once-a-week clinic here in Muscatine, that would be really helpful. So how could the County Board of Supervisors help with that?
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure how I could step in and help with that. I'll be honest with you, how could that be in my power to do if I'm elected? But as a private citizen, I'm still trying to see how can I facilitate that? How can I help with that? How can I maybe help set up meetings, and how can we all collaborate and work to get that to happen? I'm willing to meet with people and sit down and get at the table and what can we do to make that happen? So,
and you could even be like a conduit, yeah, from absolutely what you do to somebody else.
You know, even if I can help facilitate setting up network, bringing right. people in, bringing people to the table, even if it's not in my power to do within being elected, however it needs to happen, I'm willing to say, let's make it happen regardless.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Well, so we covered the mental health services, that kind of thing. Real quick, you mentioned earlier, before we even went on the air, tell us about the Vets Caucus. It's off subject, but I mean, I just wanted to make sure we talked about this.
So, I was elected to be within the Iowa Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
I was just elected to be chair of a constituency caucus. So constituency caucuses exist within the Iowa Democratic Party to represent the voices of minority rights.
Right.
And veterans are considered a minority in
every
state.
That blows my mind. Really?
Yeah, we are. Oh. And so I am the first elected chair of the Female Veterans Caucus for the state of Iowa.
Yay!
And I will represent all 99 counties, all four congressional districts, and I will sit on the state central committee for a 2-year term. And they meet in, typically they try to meet all around the state, but mostly in Des Moines.
Mm-hmm.
And we help manage the budget and the business. We are an operating board of the Iowa Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will vote the voice of the veterans within the state.
Okay.
And then I will operate the Veterans Caucus of the state of Iowa. And then I will go to the Capitol and represent the voice of the veterans when legislation and things are happening that pertain to veterans. I will offer counsel and work with our legislators.
Oh my gosh. That's a huge honor. How did you get in? How did you even get in to be considered for this role?
So I had to go through a process within the Iowa Democratic Party of running for the position being nominated and elected by my peers within the Iowa Democratic Party, and I was elected yesterday.
I just think that's
crazy. Saturday rather. Saturday. Not yesterday. Yesterday was Sunday. So Saturday morning we had our election, and so veterans from across the state that joined the caucus, we had a vote, and or not just veterans, but people that joined the Veterans Caucus.
I was going to ask about that. Okay.
But so any registered Democrat could partake in the process, but people that identified with the Veterans Caucus joined the caucus, and then I was elected. So
I know that you spent a lot of time going back and forth to Des Moines to lobby and to make sure that the word gets out about what you do. You also, is it this next Saturday for League of Women Voters, you'll be debating with Nathan Mather? Is that coming up? Or the following Saturday?
I believe that one's August 1st. And it's August not 1st. Really a debate. It's a forum.
Right.
So we get like a series of questions. And
it is more over. I watched this last one too. And that was, it was fascinating because you're hearing everybody's, I guess, resume and why I should have this position, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, again, but it goes back to, you know, you're talking about your having a fresh perspective.
Yeah.
In the city. So we already, I think we already kind of know what you're going to say as far as your resume.
Everybody has to kind of sit up there and go through the, I don't know. I watch those and I just, so I'm naturally, like I like to be able to have conversations like this.
Yes.
But I feel like those situations where you kind of get put on the spot, it's like, oh, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the moderator, and even, like, they have to ask questions. So, like, we were able to submit some questions here.
Nice.
I still didn't really know. I'm like, okay, what do I ask a county auditor? What do I ask these people? So what kind of questions would you want to be asked about becoming County Board of Supervisors?
I think that people should submit questions that pertain to the things that they need the most,
right,
the things that affect their lives the most, their realities, because that's what should shape the job of what the people do that serve them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the definition of the job should flow with the needs of the people.
Right.
So because you're there to serve the people. So there should be some hard definitions of what the job is, but I think the job itself should absolutely meet the needs of the people.
Yeah.
Often when people call in and say, we need this, I see deflective behavior that says that's not our job.
Yeah.
And then people are like, but I live in this neighborhood out in the country, and I have no other representation in the county except for to come to you.
Yeah.
And then they have no other avenue of recourse. There's nowhere else for them to go. So I want people to be able to have transparency in government. Mm-hmm. And I want them to be able to have a clear ability to know, I push this button and this is the person I'm able to get to, and this is the person that will represent me, and this is the person that will get things done for me.
Right.
And I want to be that person. I want them to be able to go on the county website and say, Shelley Servideo Elias is my person, my district, or whoever, and know that they can always reach me and ask me any question, and I will be the person that if I don't know the answer, I'll find the answer.
And put
them
I'll
in find
touch.
The person
right.
that will help them, and I will get the job done for them. However, whatever I need to do, I'll leave no stone unturned.
Mm-hmm.
So they should be able to ask me any question. And I'm not always going to know the answer.
Right.
I'm really going to admit that. It's going to be a huge learning curve. But I'm willing to do the work to find the answer, find the person, or tap into my network of all the different layers of people that I know from all the work that I've been doing for the past few years and figure it out.
Right.
Because I can figure it out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I've proved that.
Yeah,
you Google me, like I said.
You have.
You can see all the things that different things I've been doing. And it's just been an adventure. I'm like, well, I want to try this. So I go do it,
yeah.
You know, and I'm a doer. I'm an action-oriented person. So
right.
I'll get it done.
I think that would be exciting for voters to know that they have somebody that they can just go to and say, hey, can you help me? Maybe not, but can you try to find me somebody who can help me?
Right.
You know?
And, so. Yeah. And I'm not afraid to openly say, yeah. And then if I get something wrong, I'll be like, yeah, I got this wrong, but how can we fix it?
But that's part of the transparency of the job, too.
Yeah.
So, well, switching gears.
Sure.
Finally, here we've got... You talked about the Port Authority, I think, last time you were here, too. So let's talk about the development of a Port Authority in Muscatine County.
Yeah. So this one is going to require unity. This is going to require all of us coming together, working together as a team. This isn't something like, I have an idea, I want to do this, and I can just go off and do it, right? I have to have everybody working together. So this would be a team effort of multiple levels of government, county, city, state, federal. But it would be so good for our economy.
Yeah.
And it would really help our farmers. I just don't understand why we haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
Truly. and again, that might be part of my learning curve, because there's clearly... Maybe there's obstacles that I don't know about yet, so maybe someone needs to sit me down and explain them to me. Haven't heard those reasons yet, clearly or definitively. But let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, something different. Something good for the...
Goals.
Area. Yeah. Well, speaking of that, and I will make this your final question.
Sure.
So, with all of the things that you're doing with possibly taking it in November, do you see this as a springboard? Like, would you like to keep going with this, or would you like to say, you know what, I'll take it a step further?
Okay, so...
So on the spot right there.
Hey, all right. So I never limit myself. I mean, my email is literally limitlessrn@gmail.com.
Right.
My license plate, limitless. I mean, literally, I decided a long time ago when I was going to nursing school, limitless. I don't limit myself. So I'm not going to say something's a springboard, because I'm in it to win it.
Mm-hmm.
I need to gain experience. I need to figure out, you know, I want to jump in and learn this, and I think I'm going to love it. I mean, it feels like as natural as breathing to me. I know I'm going to be good at it. And once I hit my stride and get in the thick of things, do I want more? I think that's for the people to decide. If the people think I'm doing a good job and they're happy with me, I'll stay where I'm most needed. I think that's really the true testament of, you know, the voters will vote for you and keep you where they need you the most. Yeah. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do when you're a servant leader. It really shouldn't be about your own personal ambition or ego.
Right.
So that's what I believe in. But I also believe in being limitless. Mm-hmm. So if the need arises where I'm needed in other places, then I believe the doors will open, because I'm also a faithful person. So that's what running for this office is. It's been a natural progression of my life and my service, who I am and what and how I've built my life and who I've become. So that's why I'm running for this office, because those doors have opened and the voters have spoken. And if it wasn't meant to be, then I wouldn't have won.
Right.
The voters wouldn't have voted me in. So we'll see how things go. I mean, I have to learn how to do this before I seek something higher.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know that you are invited back anytime before November, because we definitely want to get, you know, as we get closer to talk more about the issues that we know are going to, especially after COVID, we God only knows where we're going to be in November. So you're always welcome back. You know that.
Yeah. God bless and keep those that are ill
and
those that are mourning. And I pray that we all stay safe.
Right.
I'm deeply, deeply concerned for how things are progressing in our country.
Mm-hmm.
It is staggering. Like, I watch the news and it almost leaves me speechless when I look at those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
As a veteran, when I know how many people have died in a war.
Right.
and you compare and contrast those numbers to how many people we've lost in wars, mm-hmm. and what our country, how horrified we would be if we said we lost 135,000 people in this war.
Yeah.
We would be so horrified. Mm-hmm. And we seem to be almost numb to it.
Desensitized. Absolutely.
And I cannot wrap my mind around it.
Right.
Because I'm horrified at the loss as an American and as a human being. And I'm grieving for my fellow Americans. Mm-hmm. I have a deep sorrow. And I just hope people will take a deep breath and connect to their fellow humanity, mm-hmm. and understand that we must take this seriously. And please be kind to your fellow human beings and be safe.
Yes. Ultimately, that would be the most important thing. Just being kind.
I would hope so.
Yep.
We have to remember to be compassionate and have empathy for one another.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Shelley, thank you so much for being on. Thank you so much for caring. We appreciate it very, yeah. very much.
That's what nurses do.
Absolutely. Well, you've been listening to Moving Forward on KWPC, the voice of Muscatine.
Thank you for having me.
We'd like to thank MPW Digital TV and MockLink Internet, the local providers, for sponsoring Moving Forward on KWPC AM 860, FM 95.